Matthew 23:37. I'm just reading one verse out of this chapter that is filled with the words of the Lord. I love those words in red, don't you? And those are the words that Christ spoke himself. And this is one of the things that he said in Matthew 23:37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings, and ye would not. I know that some of my family have been to the Holy Land with me. Ron has been to the Holy Land. Mark Bear's been to the Holy Land. Is there any others that you've been to Israel? You've been to Israel. There's a few hands going up. Well, if you have been to Israel, you know well where this site occurs. When I mention it, you may not remember right immediately off the top of your head, but when I give reference to it, you'll remember where Christ spoke these words because it's probably one of the places that you visited. When you go across the old city, down in the valley is what's known as the Kidron Valley. And there at the base of the Kidron Valley are a number of old olive trees, some believed to be 2,500 to 3,000 years old, maybe even some of the trees that Christ prayed under himself when he prayed and he went with his disciples to pray. To make that journey down to it, one of the best ways to get there is to come down off the Mount of Olives. And you travel just a dusty little road and little paved road there beside of it. But it's unbelievable the amount of traffic. But it's very steep. And you come down that, and I'm just guessing maybe halfway. And probably for those of you that were there, your guide stopped you and took you out along a little precipice where there's a little tiny chapel that's there. It's known as the Chapel of Tears because that place has been set aside and marked as the place where Christ looked out. You have a perfect view of the old city from that vantage point. And they say that that is the place where Jesus very well spoke these words, because when he looked on the city, he wept over the city because he had a desire to do something great, but they would not. His heart was broken because of their resistance to why he had came. They never even realized who he was. And they of all people should have known who he was. So he is facing that city there in this chapel of tears that's there now. And it's a place where Jesus not only wept there, but when you get down in the valley, there he prayed until his sweat became as though it were drops of blood. And there he bore such a burden and such concern because he who knew no sin was taking on all of our sin. And he had this great compassion and this great drive. And he spoke those words. And when he said it, he used of all things something that would be common to people then and even common today. He talked about a hen. And he said, I wish that you were like those chicks, that I could gather you as a mother hen gathereth her brood in to protect them. And I'm looking at the subject tonight, under his wings. Under his wings. To be under his protection. Under his power. Under his grace. Sheltering us when we need him the most. Now, it's not uncommon that he would refer to nature, since he created it and sustains it, and without him was not any of it made. That was made, he made all of it, responsible for all of it. So it's not unusual that he'd talk about that, and he could have talked about a number of birds. We learn so many lessons from the birds. For example, if you take the pigeon, which is the turtle dove in your Bible. You know, the pigeon, I did a study on turtle doves one time, and as far as I can tell, they are the only bird that drinks by suction. All other birds, they scoop water in their mouth and in their bill or beak, and then they turn their head up, and gravity feeds the water down to supply their need. Have you ever seen that? A bird, they'll stretch their neck after they scoop up water because the gravity is forcing it down. But a turtle dove doesn't do that. It bends over and uses suction to pull the water up. And it doesn't use gravity. And if you've not caught what I'm saying yet, all other birds, when they get a drink, they lift their head to the Heavenly Father and they're saying, "Thank you, Lord, for the drink of water that you've given to me." But the turtle dove doesn't do that. Its head's down. It's looking down to the earth as though I deserve this water, and it drinks by suction instead of gravity. Doesn't appreciate the water that God has given to it. And by the way, that's one of the few birds mentioned in your Bible that sacrificed as an offering. Because of their lack of gratitude, the way that they're made, God said, "I'll use that bird as one of my sacrifices." You better be careful if you stop praising God for what He's done. Everything God gives you, you ought to lift your head toward heaven and say, "Lord, I sure do thank you, because you didn't have to be that good to me, but I'm glad that you gave me what you gave me. And Lord, without you, I wouldn't have anything and I could do nothing, but you're the one that supplied it all to me." Lift your head in praise to God and say, "Lord, without you, I wouldn't have anything, could do nothing. I thank you for all of it." Then He made the owl. The owl can turn, one species can turn its head 270 degrees, almost completely around. That's a pretty amazing thing. What lesson do we learn from that? Well, it's the lesson that while their body is facing forward, they can look backward and they can look forward and they can look beside them at the same time, but they're always facing forward. It's okay to look around. It's okay to look behind you. Okay to look beside of you. But always be moving forward with the Lord. Don't ever be satisfied where you're at. Always say, "God, I want to get closer to you and I want to move forward for you." He could have used larks. Larks with their song, they're known as the joy birds. And they sing songs of joy constantly. Boy, we could use a little bit of that in this country. I've never seen so many miserable people in all my life. But in the middle of all of it, I really can't help what they do, but I'm glad that I have joy in the Lord. And we rejoice in joy at what God does in our life and who we serve and who He is and why we follow Him. He gives us joy, abundant joy, everlasting joy. I could talk about hummingbirds. They teach us the lesson of work. You ever think about how hard a hummingbird has to work to provide its food and what it needs? They teach us that people are amazed by the bird that works the most. No bird flaps its wings any faster. No bird's heart rate goes any higher. It works hard, can fly forward and reverse, can maneuver. It's one of my favorite birds. We draw in hummingbirds. Here in just a few days in the month of February, usually by the end of February, I think I'll probably move it up. It's getting so warm around here. But that's when they can come back, especially they don't go by the calendar. They go by the season. God puts it inside of them when it's time to come back north. And if you want them, get your feeders out early. Keep it fresh. Keep it sweet. Well, I'm moving right along. Then there's the mighty eagle, teaches us a lesson of freedom. It's a symbol of freedom to our great nation, the mighty eagle. And aren't you glad that you're free in the Lord? He's taught us the lesson of freedom, liberty, that we had. Death had us. The law had us. We were lost, but thank God I am free, that the Lord has saved us. And that eagle teaches us the mighty lesson of freedom. We could talk about the pelican in Psalm 102 that's out in the wilderness, which is a type of loneliness. God said, "I didn't forget it, and I saw it there." Even though that it's out in the wilderness, it's at a place that it's misfit. It's a place that it doesn't belong, but God saw it there. God took care of it. God knows when you're lonely. God knows when you're heartbroken, and He's right there with you. All types of birds. But all birds don't look alike. All birds don't do the same thing. But they do have something in common: feathers. That's the sheltering force that he talks about in this particular passage. Those feathers on the birds are important because birds are defined by their feathers. You look at their feather, you know, you can see a single feather laying on the ground, and you can look at that feather, and if you watch birds much at all, you'll know what bird that feather belongs to. They're defined by their feather. You know, here we are under his wings. We're defined by his feathers. We're part of the family. That's why he wants to bring us in and to protect us and to shelter us. The other thing is those feathers regulate the temperature. Those feathers are important. When the mother spreads her feathers out, sometimes it's not because of a storm, it's to keep the chicks warm. I'm afraid that a lot of churches aren't under the feathers because it's pretty cold in there. Not a whole lot happens. There's not much warmth of the spirit and nothing much is happening. But I'm telling you, if you ever get real, real cold, you get in the spirit real good and you're under his wings and God says the temperature's always fine there. And we could talk about how that they preen those feathers and it has a gland that the feathers, when they preen their feathers, take their beak and go through it. Most of the birds, they emit an oil over the feathers. That's to make them waterproof. Thank God. Not only are we under his wings, but they're waterproof. There's oil there. What oil? The oil of the Holy Ghost. I know the floods come, but it's okay. We're under his wings. He's taking care of us. We could talk about as well how that those feathers interlock. And when those feathers interlock, they're made so that one interlocks with the other to make them airtight, if you will, because flight would be impossible if they didn't interlock together. I'm telling you, get a church that locks together and comes together and you'll fly to heights like you've never flown before, but it takes God's people coming together in unity in the bonds of the Spirit. That's when we go the highest for God. Even birds that don't fly still use their wings. For what? Propulsion. The penguin, it's not a bird of flight, but it uses its wings. It flies underwater. It uses its wings for that. Or the ostrich, it's not a bird of flight, but it uses its wings to help propel itself, to run faster. God says, those feathers, those wings are important, but never any more important than they are in this text. He likens it unto the chicken. Why? What's important about being under his wings? What's the significance of the wings of a bird? Well, one thing, you probably knew this, birds need wings for balance. When they're on the ground, have you ever watched a bird run that's on the ground? You ever see them stretch their wings out? You wonder why they do that? To balance themselves. Sometimes their legs is not strong enough to carry them properly, but the wings help balance them. And I want to tell you, where a church or a people are under the wings of God, they'll be balanced in life. It won't be one-sided or it won't be unbalanced. All of life won't be unbalanced. There'll be a balance in their life for all things. God teaches us and gives us wisdom to balance out our life. In fact, your life is incomplete without the Lord. Not only balance, but they use the wings to defend themselves. Oh, I know that they'll use their beak. And I know that they'll use their talons. But I also know they'll beat the living daylights out of you with their wings. Any of you ever been flogged? If you were flogged, you'll never forget it. If you say, I don't know if I've been flogged or not, then you haven't been flogged. I can promise you that. Me and my brother, we used to stay with some dear folks, Jack and Charlene Phillips, and they were sweet people. They're now both with the Lord. They had so many chickens, and they had some roosters that they were unbelievable. And Jack kept telling me and my brother, don't you guys get down there by the barn, said, for some reason, Big Red's kind of in a nasty mood right now. I don't know what's wrong with him, but he'll flog you if you get too close to him. Well, we thought we knew it all, but we didn't listen to Jack. And all of a sudden, I was able to get away, but my brother didn't get away, and he got a flogging from Big Red. And I'm telling you, that rooster, you wouldn't believe the number that thing did on him between pecking at him and clawing at him, but just beating at him. I've never seen anybody get flogged that they didn't take a whipping from the wings. I don't think you're getting this. The same wings that shelter us beats the living daylights out of the devil. The same God that takes care of us, that we abide in peace and safety under his wings, those same wings are mightier than any force in this world. There's not a demon can overcome him. There's not a lie that can defeat him. There's not a church that has more authority than him. There's not a person that has more power. Satan himself was defeated by the mighty wings of the outstretched Savior when Jesus stretched out his arms on Calvary's cross and said, it is finished. He gave the devil a flogging. It defends us. It's used for fishing and hunting. Do you know that there's certain birds like storks, herons, they come together. You ever wonder how they catch their prey, the fish? I mean, fish can move in water. You know what they do? Stretch their arms out, and they cast a shadow. And the birds that cast the shadow cause the fish to feel safe. And the whole time, that gives them time to catch their prey. I'm glad I'm under the shadow of the Almighty. He takes care of us. He feeds us. He provides for us. He gives us everything that we need. He'll move on people's heart that we can't even imagine and touch their life and deal with them to open doors for us and provide for us. He knows what we have need of before we ever ask. Our Heavenly Father loves us and he takes care of us. It's used for courting. A lot of times, the hens are impressed because of the wings of their mate. The female is drawn to the male because of their wings. In fact, it's so important that eagles in flight lock their wings together and dance in the air. And that's one way that she knows this is the one for me because of his mighty wings. This is who I want to help me raise my young and to build a family with. Do you hear what I'm saying, do you? We are the bride. He is the groom. And I want to tell you, he picked a mate. We might not have picked him originally, but thank God he chose us. And he said, I want you to be a part of my family. And he's called each one of us to be a part of that. And because of that, he stretches out his arms to become our mate. But then it's used for protecting the chicks. There are several reasons why the chicks need protected. One thing is that they have a tendency, even when they leave the nest, they feel like that they don't need protection anymore. They're on their own. But the right storm come, the right problem come, thank God the hen's watching over them and says, if you'll come, I'll shelter you. You know, another thing, if they're under their wings, they not only find protection from the storm, but they find a camouflage from their enemy. The enemy can't see the chicks. Because they're under his wings. There's a place that we get in Christ that the enemy can't see us any longer because we're under his wings. That's why the eagle is always one of the most amazing birds when you study it. It has two sets of eye shades or lenses or eyelids. And when it's in normal flight, it will use one. But if it's ever pestered by another bird and it wants free from an enemy, it'll look straight in the sun and soar toward the sun, close the second set of eyelids. And with that, it's almost like sunglasses on. It can look straight in the sun and fly to the sun, and the enemy can't see it because it's hidden by the sun, but it can stare in the sun and fly right toward it. Thank God for that one that has set us free, that says we can go higher than the devil can come and get to places that the enemy can't find us because he's taking care of us. When this world was being formed, it was void, had no form. And the waters of the deep, if you read in Genesis 1:2, says the Holy Spirit moved. You know what that means in the Hebrew? It means to brood over. The Holy Spirit was like a hen with its chicks. It hovered over it. Do you know how many times in the Old Testament that you'll read where God's people faced an enemy? They faced the Assyrians. They faced other armies. But it'll talk about the Lord taking flight over them, or the Lord being over them. When you come to Passover, the whole meaning of Passover is the fact when the Lord said, when I pass through the land, he said, where the blood is applied, he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. That's the shelter of his wings. Thank God if we are under his blood, the devil will look for us, but he can't find us any longer. There is a place in Christ that we can get that the enemy cannot find us. And the Lord says, to get to you, he'll have to come through me, and he's no match for me. Under his wings. Hezekiah said, he hovered over us. I have no idea what you are facing tonight. I have no idea the challenges that are coming your way. But I do know there is a covering. There is a place of shelter. There is a place of peace. Candy had requested prayer for Heather, and I don't want to be personal, and I would never reveal anything that's confidential. They need our prayers right now. She's been struggling with cancer. And when they gave her some news of what she's facing next in this journey, it wasn't good news, and everybody else was upset. And you know what she told her family? It's okay. It's okay. God gave me peace with this before, and I knew that this was coming, and it's all right. That's the covering. How can you be so fearful at times and doubt yourself so much at times, and we all do that, and at the same time have such wonderful peace to say, I can't figure it all out, but I know it's okay. I've got a covering. Uncle Bud Robinson used to say that the Lord held him in the hollow of his hand. And he said, every now and then the good Lord opens up his hand and says, Uncle Bud, is there anything you need today? There is a covering. I don't know what you're facing, but the Lord wants to cover you. And the choice is this simple. You can accept his covering and his help, but if it's not his covering, he'll cry over you. How oft would I have gathered them together? How oft I would have fought that battle for them? How often I would have given them peace. how often I would have changed that situation. But they would not. There is a shelter. And it's under His wings. I'm about to have a fit tonight. Under His wings. I don't know what you need tonight. And it really doesn't matter what the nature of it is. I could go through here and every one of you could give a dozen prayer requests. Probably, I need this, I need this. And it's not even selfish needs. I don't mean to insinuate that. And the truth of the matter is, I'm glad you can tell us and we'll pray about it. But in the end, the only thing that matters is that you leave here and know I'm under His blanket. I'm under His covering because I'm under His wings.